Well, we begin a new series, and the series is in the book of Joshua. So if you'd open up your Bibles with me to Joshua chapter 1, we're going to drop into this amazing story. This story that I think parallels in many ways our experiences right now within our lives, within the wilderness that we've been wandering through, and to the new land that God is calling us to. So as we look at this today, I pray that the Lord would show you the parallels between Joshua's time and our time, and that we would draw close to the Lord as He was called to do from the very beginning, and we would follow Him and trust Him even as we go on this journey in a place that we've never been before. The coronavirus, demonstrations, rioting, school openings, school closings, masks, no masks, sports, no sports, national elections, flooding, storms, heat waves, fires, countries like Belarus with fraudulent elections, closed borders to Americans, riots in the United Kingdom, Russia claims that they have a cure. There is a rise in unemployment. There is unrest with police and funding. There's claims of injustice and calls for complete teardown of systems. Wrong seems right in the culture, in their moral eyes today. All you have to do is look at the programming that's going to come out for Disney and Hallmark. People not standing or kneeling or standing for the national anthems. This is a new land. We just barely came out of a time of unrest and unpredictability and seeming to wander through the 2020 wasteland, haven't we? Even now, that's threatened that this won't end until there's an actual vaccine. So we're still kind of wandering. I want you to know this, though. Yes, the Lord directed us to this land. Yes, the Lord let us wander in this wilderness. It's a new reality. It's something that He has called His people to. He has called you to walk through and to be part of and engage in. Many of us want to raise our hand and say, I don't want to, Lord. No, thank you. I liked it the way it was. Guess what the Israelites said when they were taken out of Egypt and they'd been wandering and they wondered where the water was. They wondered where the food was. They said, hey, we liked it better when we were what? Slaves. In this way, you and I, we have been called to be in this place, in this time, like no other generation has before. How can we journey into this new land with a sense of hope? God tells us, as He did Joshua, be strong and courageous. He's calling us to that as well. In Joshua, God was fulfilling the promise of generations, the covenant promise that He'd given to Abraham, that his descendants would inherit a land that God Himself would give to them. Abraham believed that promise, which was passed down to Isaac and then to Jacob and then to the enslaved nation for 400 years. But they felt forgotten and abandoned by God for 400 years as slaves until God rose up a single man, and that man's name was Moses. And Moses had the equipping and the teaching of the very empire of Egypt, as a prince of Egypt. But also he was one of the Hebrews. And through Moses, God worked 10 wondrous plagues and saw the impossible happen. 1 million slaves driven out of the land. And then a whole army, an enemy army destroyed by water, and them walking across a dry ground of a river. A massive, massive sea. This very God revealed himself to them in covenant. He gave them his very name as the covenant. He gave them laws and sacrifices so that they would be able to not only be his and know him, but they would be set apart from all the other nations like no other. They would be different. They would turn from the false gods of that day. And God himself initiated his love to them. And he provided his presence with them. As they went, even through the wilderness for those 40 years, he was there in a column of fire or a column of smoke. He was present with them, leading them and guiding them, providing food for them, manna from heaven, quail that came until it came out their nose, sandals that never wore out, strength and opportunity, protection from even those who would harm them. If you wonder about that, read the account of Balaam. Balaam, as he tries to curse, he's being paid to curse them, and all he can do is bless them. All the way to the point in which they reach finally the promised land's borders, and 12 men are sent, one from every tribe, to go scout the land and come back with a report. What should we do? And what do they come back? 10-2. Oh, no way. We are like grasshoppers. They are huge. The people that inhabit that land, the Canaanites, are giants. 2 men come back saying, we can do it. God can do it. Let's do this. Let's do this now. But God disciplines his people and makes them to wander for 40 more years. As one generation passes away and another generation is raised up, and think about this, raised up wandering in the wilderness with stories of promise out there and seeing God provide every single day. This is the generation that now wanders out of the wilderness with Joshua as Moses passes away. Joshua is Moses' faithful apprentice. You can read about him in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Hosea is his original name, which means salvation. But eventually it was changed. Possibly even some commentators say that Moses might have even changed his name to Joshua, which means Yahweh saves, or Yahweh's salvation. This name, Yeshua, is the very same name that we see translated into Greek, Iesus, which we translate as Jesus. In many ways, Joshua is kind of a Christ-like type that we see in the Old Testament. An example of what Christ will be when he comes in his fullness, when he comes in his full potential. As God himself comes to save his people. But until then, we get this example. This powerful example of this young man. Well, at this time, not quite so young. We call him a young man, but he has been journeying for 40 years in the wilderness and was serving even before that with Moses. It's a man who's seen and had to trust in the Lord, who has gone through the wilderness of trial and now is walking into a new land with a people that have not seen what these people are like. Do not know what the road is going to be like for them. Do you see the parallels that I'm trying to draw? Let's consider this morning, as we go forward into this new land, how we can have hope in God's plan and God's purpose. See, we read Joshua and we already know the end, right? We read it and we say, oh, we've got it. We understand what God was doing during this time. He was establishing his land, his promise to his people, this covenant promise that would come. And one day there would be a kingdom there, and there would be a young king, and his name would be David. He would be a man after God's own heart, and they together would serve the Lord. And Solomon, his son, would reign in peace. And it would be the golden era. But until then, they were still looking at a dangerous land filled with supposed giants, not knowing what was going to happen around the bend. And this is us as we look forward to the rest of 2020, 2021, 2022. Who knows? Who knows what's going to be happening? But what we need to do is look to the Lord who never changes, and what his promises and what his work is within us. So let's look at this morning. The first part of the chapter, let's look at the first four verses. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant is dead. Therefore, arise, go over to this Jordan. You and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I will give to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness to this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. The first part of what we see in going forward, as God is calling us to go forward, is that God promises. God gives promises to his people. And as we look at this morning, the first promise that he gives is he gives a leader to his people. He gives one who will be the redeeming strength, be one who will be the leading force. Now, this isn't a parallel of looking towards a pastor or looking towards elders, though elders and pastors, this applies to us because the commands that Joshua has given applies greatly to us. But I want to draw this even deeper and say, let us look to Christ as the one who is leading and our leader. Joshua, this young man, whose name even means Jesus later in the New Testament. Yeshua, God's salvation. He was the assistant to Moses. He had been with Moses through all those times, except for the time in which he went up onto the mountain and was alone with the Lord during those 40 days. Joshua was by his side. And Joshua is at this moment in time coming to this end of wandering in the wilderness. Moses in chapter 34, if you just turn over your Bible to the previous page, chapter 34, Moses had just seen the promised land. That was as close as he could get. And then he passes away. And now Joshua takes up the mantle. And in Numbers, in Deuteronomy, there is an exchanging in front of the people, Moses bringing him forth and saying, this is Joshua, look to him, see him and follow him. In many ways, as it is for us, it's the Father coming alongside Jesus the Son and saying, here is he who you shall follow. Here is the one that will lead you and be your strength as you go through this wilderness. Are we looking to the Lord? Or are we getting overwhelmed by social media? Are we getting overwhelmed by the news and what we hear each morning? And sometimes we've got to turn from one news channel to the other news channel just to balance it all out. Are we looking to that? Or are we looking back to Christ as we go through this journey? A leader is promised. And this leader has been risen up by the Lord himself. This young man is prepared. A land is given to them, a place for them to go. And this is God fulfilling his promises from ages past. All the way from Genesis 15, verse 18 and 21. Let me read this to you. This is Genesis chapter 15, verse 18. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your offspring I will give the land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of the Canaanites, the Kenizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Gerishites, and the Jebusites. All was promised even then in Genesis chapter 15. Again, that promise was given to Isaac in 26:3, and then to Jacob in 28:13. Passed down through the ages, God said, I will give this land to you. And by the way, this is a great swath of land. I was looking at the dimensions of what they actually end up possessing and what God actually says will be yours in the promised land. He gives them a greater amount of land than they end up possessing. And I often think, does that mean God didn't fulfill His promise? Does that mean that God didn't give them all the land that He had promised? But notice this one phrase. The land I will give you and your people Israel. Verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot treads upon, I have given you. So though He has given them this large swath of land, what's one of the determining factors of what they will actually possess? Where they walk and where they go. If you're not going out there, you're not getting it. But where you go, I will surely give this to you. God is laying down His promises. Notice He says this, I am giving it to you. I have given it to you. He repeats, I have promised to Moses. He says over and over again. Joshua is a type of Christ. He is a chosen leader from God who will lead His people from the wandering and the death to a new land of life with the Lord. And we see several things for us as believers as we consider Jesus in this. God's promises are fulfilled. Perhaps not in our timing or in our desired ways, but He will see His people through His promises. And in Christ, this is ever true. Promises that you will have a new life in Him. Promises that even echo as we're about to read, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, in that moment in time, that was a promise that Joshua needed to hear. Because so many times Moses had heard that himself. But now Joshua needed to know that it had been given to him, that presence of the Lord. Because what would he ever be able to be capable of fulfilling if he didn't have what? The very presence of God with him. He was lost. So this promise goes not only to Joshua, but goes to us. And we need to consider this as we look at the frightful visage of the world ahead of us. I want you to understand this and hold fast to this. God's promises still apply. They have not been washed away. They have not weakened. Jesus Christ still saves sinners. The truth of the gospel does not change. And so we, brothers and sisters, need to be as Joshua in this, as the Lord commands him in the following verses. Well, let's go on to this, because God also has a provision. See, He's gathering forth these people into an army, but truly in the midst of this provision is the opportunity for them to live. One day they will possess the land and they will live in it. One day we will come to a new normal in the land that is ahead of us. It's going to look different from the past. How many generations as we've been growing up and we look back, we go, boy, this has really changed. Right? We look back, maybe some that have grown up in the 40s, 50s, 60s. You look back to where we are today and you go, boy, this has really changed. Society's changed. Priorities have changed. Behavior and where and how people even address one another. What you see on television has certainly changed. That's going to be the same case in years from us right now. We'll be at a new normal. But the idea is that in that new normal, the one thing that's not going to change is the Lord and His provision for us in that time, that He will be with us. He talks about this as we look at verse 5 and following. No man shall be able to stand against you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Let's stop right there. Victory is promised in this new place. Victory from the Lord Himself. He says, no one will stand against you. Brothers and sisters, we're in a different place from those people of Israel in that moment in time. They were slaves, having never inherited a land, having had nothing. They stand in a different place economically, socially. The Lord was going to give them all of this, and it was going to be their inheritance, their blessing, their possession. Now, we can't relate to that in many ways. We live in a country where we're free. We get to vote our own leaders. We have homes. We have the ability to work. We have the ability to choose those things. Yes, we have a very checkered past with slavery as part of it. That's true. But we don't identify with what they're going through exactly. But what they're going through spiritually, we can identify, because how many of us were slaves to sin? How many of us, through Jesus Himself pulling us from that place, had set us upon a victory that is more victorious than even that promised land that was said to these people? God has provided for us. He's given us already a victory. So as we look at these hills, we should not be afraid of what this next land will be, this new era of life, because God has already provided His salvation for us and is walking with us and through this. He's going ahead of us. He said, I will be with you. No one will stand against you. Now, this does not mean promises for us. I'm not correlating it to saying everyone's just going to get out of our way. But I'm saying this, that spiritually and truthfully, the victory is already ours. We are citizens of a kingdom that is now and is yet to be fulfilled. And so we got to live that way. And we got to follow that way. Leadership. In all the ways that He provided for Moses in his leadership, He will provide for Joshua. And He will make provision for His people as well. He will be not only with Joshua, but He will be with the people. He will continue to provide for them. And what is the very provision, the greatest provision that God says He will give them? Do you guys get it? It's not the land. It's Himself. Yeah, hold on to that idea for a moment, because that right there is the very hallmark, the very beginning of Joshua that is echoed through the rest of Joshua. For who fights the battles in Joshua? It is the Lord. He calls them. He brings them. He even tells Joshua, you will cause these people, but it's not going to be Joshua himself that makes it happen. It's the promise of the Lord working in and through Joshua that will make this happen. You and I are not going to succeed in this world to come, in this land to come, in all of these things, if we are not centered and focused upon Christ. If we're not settled upon His Word. The Lord's going to echo that even more for Joshua here in a moment. But it's true for us. There's statements of truth here. I will never leave you or forsake you. It's echoed again in Hebrews, but this is said so many times in Numbers and Deuteronomy, it's repeated, I will never leave you or forsake you. And that same statement is true for us. The Lord Himself has set His affections upon us and has given us His Spirit and has redeemed us of our sin and now indwells us. Brothers and sisters, He goes with you. Have no fear of viruses or the changing nature of the social strata of the world. Imagine what they were walking into. They just left a corrupt and pagan system of Egypt, of worshiping false gods. And now they knew the one and only God, though they were having trouble with that. And now they were headed into a land that has multiple gods and multiple places with multiple people that look like giants. To be honest with you, I don't think our struggles look quite the same in comparison with them. But the giants that we are facing are ones that God Himself is already moving to conquer and have victory over. And one day, whether we see it in this life or we see it in the next, justice will come. What's interesting is He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. His provision is to continue as He did in the wilderness, and it will not be removed. But it does not mean, it does not come with a qualification without obedience. And we have to consider this, that there is still a need for us to continue to follow Him and be obedient. Just because He has saved us doesn't mean that we just sit back on our laurels. We are now motivated to follow Him. We're now set free to follow Him and to love Him with our obedience. But God has made this provision. He's arranged us, O brothers and sisters, for a very time such as this. He provides a command to the heart of what we need in an uncertain time of change, to be strong and courageous, He tells us. And by the way, these are the only imperatives other than arise and go, as we read in this. The only imperative commands. He says, be strong and courageous. That's a command to you. I want to look at these words just for a moment. Hazak, He says, for strong. It's an imperative and it's a sense of be prevailing. Be firm, be secure. So it's not just a matter of physical strength. Or warrior power. It's a matter of saying, I'm going to stand fast in where I am in Christ. And as we consider the shifting sands of our community and in our society, are you standing fast upon the rock of Christ? As Pastor Don often said, are you holding the bridge? That's where we stand. Are you courageous? Amas, He says. In Hebrew. And this is strength to work. This is being bold and brave and having prevailed. In many ways, He's saying, have the strength to stand and have the attitude that you've already won. But let's not be arrogant. I'm just going to put that caveat. We don't go around saying, well, we've already got the victory. Yep, you guys are all just going to be suffering. We've got the victory. Brothers and sisters, come humbly. We are beggars who are telling other beggars where to find bread. But we stand in the truth of Christ in this. In many ways, this new world is a new opportunity for us. A new way for the world to see God's presence with us. That God is working in and through us and that His gospel is truth. Where there is no truth out there, and who knows what the truth is in your truth and my truth and Bella. He is true. But the world is going to see that in you and in me. And how are we going to be prepared for that? Well, we are prepared because His presence is with us. He gives promises, He gives provision, and He gives us His presence. We talked about that before, but His presence means that we need to be dwelling with Him as well. Look at verse 7. He reiterates the command. He says, only be strong and very courageous. Well, that would start to worry me. being careful to do according to the law of Moses. Make note of that. He's commanded him twice to be strong and courageous. And now he commands him here, well, he doesn't really command him, but he says, continuing, he uses this imperfect form in the Hebrew, which means keep on doing carefully according to the law of Moses. Keep that as part of your life. My servant commanded you, all that my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it, from the right or from the left. This was a phrase that was used many times throughout Deuteronomy and Numbers, saying, stay right on exactly what God's word has to say for you, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law, that's the second time, the law of Moses, now the second time he mentions it, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, and you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do what is, to do all that is written in it. That idea of written in it, that this law of Moses, this book of the law, that which is written in it, he tells him three times, this needs to be the hallmark of your life. Something that you're breathing in and breathing out. He mentions the mouth. He mentions the meditation that needs to happen. And you know the Old Testament word for meditation? You guys have probably studied this before. It's like a cow chewing the cud. You know, it kind of takes up some grass, chews it, goes down into one of its many stomachs, comes back up, chews it again, and then goes back down for deeper digestion. That's the same idea that he's telling here, Joshua. You need to have the Word of God so much in part of your life that you're bringing it in and it goes in a little ways. And then you bring it up and you consider it again. And then it goes down a little deeper into your life, into your heart. You start to actually see yourself living it out and doing it. He's saying part of that obedience, part of that relationship is that you're desiring me and you're coming after me and you're seeking the very commands of God in order to know how to live. And it's part of you. You're expressing it to people, from not letting it depart from your lips, from your mouth. Meditating on it day and night and doing it. So not only are you reading it, but you're also speaking it, you're also thinking about it, and you're doing it. It's every part of your life. And if we're going to progress further with the presence of the Lord with us, we need to know Him. We need to be examples of Him. This is God's command. And it's a command to Joshua, not just so he could be a good military leader, but that he would be a good spiritual leader. That he would be one who would be an example spiritually to the people. He says this, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, third time, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. And do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. This is the final strengthening command to us. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed are in the imperfect form. They're not a command, but they're simply the idea of as you are finding strength and courage, as you have that and you're taking hold of it, guess what's going to just continually disappear? Your fear and your sense of dismay, because you're going to draw closer to me in the Word and I'm going to be with you. And as you face each challenge, you'll see I am there with you. And I even went ahead of you. This right here is the very theme that flows throughout Joshua. This very theme of being strong and courageous and following the Lord in His Word and being obedient to it and seeing all that God is going to do. Just wait till we get to Jericho. Jericho is not a military battle at all. It's probably the worst military strategy you've ever seen. But it's the power of God at work in the midst of His people. So don't be surprised if he calls us to do some crazy different things that we've never done before. That's okay. Because we're trusting him to see the power of God at work. God promises, he provides, and his presence is with us, brothers and sisters. So let's go forth with hope. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for men like Joshua, a type of Christ that was to come. A little flash, a sample of who Jesus in the fullness of his power and his wonderful accomplishment upon the cross and in his life and through his resurrection that he has accomplished in us, O God. That by faith, as we trust in him, we are forgiven. We are set free. Set free as slaves and brought into a new life and a new world where we need to know you more. So Lord, help us to study your word daily, personally. Help us to know you and help us to follow you. We ask your blessing as we go from this place in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's sing together. Let's stand and let's sing.